Wahino Amadunayla Hino Little Ma said they don't kuna little ma said they don't kunane. Shalom Alechem Baruchino Bayim, welcome everyone. Bezrat Hashem, we are now going to begin our Shiurim in Sefer Bereshit. Bereshit, as we know, is the beginning of our Holy Torah. It teaches us about creation. The process of creation in itself is such a profound topic. I assure you, I am not qualified to cover the topic comprehensively as it truly needs to be covered. I do not believe a human being exists today and possibly ever, maybe the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, whoever truly understood or understands everything that is included within these words in this text. We're going to learn this text in a variety of different ways, from a number of different classical authoritative sources. And upon that, I will add my opinions, my viewpoints, my ideas. One thing I must say from the beginning, I am not qualified to tell you the truth, the absolute truth. I can only share with you that which my limited human mind understands. I can share with you, as a scholar, the classical traditional interpretations, sources, philosophies, and commentaries that have been written on these words. And indeed, we shall do that. And I can share with you my own views, which again, as I said, I will. But I must say right from the beginning, I disavow any claim of having any type of absolute authoritative knowledge, because I don't believe mankind in our present state can have that. I am of the opinion, I belong to the school of thought that believes that our Torah is far more than just a text of written word. As we will cover through some of the legends, the Hebrew word, of course, is midrash. We will learn about what the Torah supposedly is. We discussed some of this in our introduction, last lesson, which I called Introducing Torah. But now, within the context of the text, I don't want to go too far away from it. It's very easy, when discussing creation, to go into modern science, to go into string theory, quantum theory, and the rest. But in all due respect, as I mentioned, I do not have the ability, through the lack of my education and possibly my ability as a human being to learn, to delve, to discover. I don't know exactly how quantum theory and string theory fit into this text in Genesis. However, following the words of Maimonides Rambam, I do believe that this text in Genesis is not necessarily limited to words of faith. I do believe these are words of science. I do not believe that there is contradiction at all between science and Torah. Again, as Rambam has stated, I believe that these chapters of Genesis, the creation story, are indeed a scientific explanation of the process of how the universe came into being. I discussed some of these ideas again in our previous lesson. And now I'm going to try to stick as close to the text as I can and explain it within a context which obviously is going to have to take us into some of these scientific understandings. But again, as I will say over and over and over again, because I really want this point emphasized, I can only speak within the limited context of what it is to be a human being. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Right from the beginning, the word Bereshit how to translate it, what it means, is a subject of disagreement, controversy, if you will, amongst the classical sources. Some interpret this classically, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Others translate it as in the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth. And you could say, well, gee, what's the difference? The difference is much more than just a grammatical shift. Indeed, commentators, Rabbeinu Bachya, Rambam, in his Mora Nebuchim, explain the difference between the Hebrew word reshit, which means beginning, and rishona, which means first. And Rambam, specifically in his Mora Nebuchim, explains the importance of the word, the choice of the word reshit, specifically as a response against a specific scientific view, which is expressed in his writings as the philosophy of Aristotle, who apparently wished to claim that the universe is eternal, that it always was there, is there, and forevermore will be. And therefore, Rambam came to contradict this by stating that the word Bereshit definitely comes to imply not something so much in time, but a context, if you will, of order, of importance. So therefore, he includes or concludes from this that there is definitely a concept of a beginning, and that the word reshit is not only explaining the process of creation, but definitely speaks of a time, unlike what Aristotle was trying to express. And apparently, the philosophical idea of an eternally existing universe went on for some time until just recently, I believe, within the context of scientific thought, where they had the concept of the Big Bang. And I know there are many fundamentalists today who wish to consider the Big Bang theory to be a contradiction of the Torah, and therefore to be disproven and dismissed. Now, in order to understand the concept of creation, I must introduce to you a concept which is taught in Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, where in which the process of creation is discussed. It is said in the Kabbalistic teachings that initially everything existed was just God, called a simple, pure light, an Or Pashut. And we should never consider that this metaphor of light that we ascribe to God has any real application to the concept of understanding of light as we know it. It's just a metaphor. This is a point that Rabbi Moshe Cordovero makes very clear in his words of commentary here on Parshat Bereshit. In order for there to be a universe, the Kabbalists teach that the first thing God had to do was to, if you will, create a space for a universe to exist. And therefore he withdrew an aspect of his essence to create an empty space. And then within this empty space came forth the universe. Now, many of you are familiar with this Kabbalistic concept called the Tzimtzum, the contraction, might think that we are discussing the creation of heaven and earth as described here in Genesis. However, the Kabbalists are emphatic to teach that that is not the case. Indeed, according to the Kabbalah, we have a very advanced, if you will, a very intricate and involved diagram of the blueprints of existence. Existence is something that goes beyond creation, I might add, which is that's why I'm not using that word. And that which we know as the heavens and the earth are not the limitations of our existence. Because as we see, there are things that existed prior to the heavens and the earth. And I might add, within the context of verse 1 and verse 2, we have the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then immediately in the second pasuk, and the land was tohu and bohu. And no, I don't want it to translate those words, because I believe it's important we understand them within the context of the original Hebrew. V'choshech al panei tohum. And there was darkness over the face of the deep. V'ruach Elohim mirahefet al panei amayim. And the Spirit of God was, if you will, hovering, floating, moving over the face of the waters. Now, we have the creation of the heavens and the earth, and all of a sudden we have something called tohu, we have something called bohu, and all of a sudden there's darkness, and all of a sudden there's something called the deep, and all of a sudden there's something called water. Gee, did I miss something? Where on earth did these things come from? Certainly not mentioned in Genesis 1:1. Okay. Now to get back to a little bit of the Kabbalistic teachings, and now I'm going to also, as we proceed, throw in a little bit of science. You see, as I mentioned, how the Kabbalah understands our universe to be a very intricate, technical, and involved existence. Our physical dimension, and that's literally the entire physical universe as far as the eye, Hubble telescope, or any other telescope can see. That which the scientists will say came forth from the Big Bang. This entire physical dimension of matter is metaphorically what is referred to in the Bible as the earth. Whereas, as Genesis 1:1 states, God created the heavens and the earth. I might point out to you right here that from verse 2 and onward speaks about the process of the creation on the earth. Nowhere does the Bible speak about the process of creation in the heavens. We know what happens on day 1, 3, 2, 3, 4, all upon the earth. Well, what was going on in the heavens? We do not know. We do not know. According to the Kabbalah, actually a teaching brought down to us through the centuries, an important teaching for all mankind. Just to digress for a moment. When Abraham came on the world scene as a teacher, his method of teaching was to educate the members of his generation, not by giving them doctrine, theory, or religious dogma. On the contrary, we are taught that Abraham Avinu educated the individuals of his generation to follow in his footsteps, to have a personal, direct, intimate experience with the spiritual reality, the source of which is what we know as God. Our Gemara teaches us that he wrote a 400 chapter book to teach people how to ward off the dangers of idolatry, which we might define as the psychological immaturity of spiritual development, wherein which people lack the proper experience and therefore the intuitive and logical conclusions of inner knowing the truth of spiritual reality. Avraham Avinu taught people to know. Our sages say, and of this 400 chapter book, we only have left 6 chapters, which comes to us in the form today known as the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. In its present form, we believe it was codified by Rabbi Akiva in the days of the Second Temple, but of course the teachings going back to Abraham himself. It is considered one of the most profound and sublime books of the Kabbalistic tradition, and it is said to be the secrets of Ma'aseh Bereshit, the secrets of creation. Now we are talking about creation, and we are talking about public teachings, just like Abraham. We're following in his footsteps right now. Well, if Abraham thought it was important enough to educate everyone how to experience spiritual reality, by all means, that is the path that we are going to follow. Now, back to Genesis. Abraham taught that our universe, the heavens, the earth, God, actually refer to three things, which he refers to in the Sefer Yetzirah as Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Olam means world, or if you will, space. Shana is the year, which means time. Nefesh is the soul, which means, if you will, man. There are three dimensions in creation. Time, and space, and man. Now what is man? Well, man isn't created, obviously, until day six, so where does he fit into all this? Well, man, as we will learn, is not a physical, biological species, of which we know so well by looking in the mirror. Man, as who and what we truly are as human beings, is that inner reality of what we are as, and please allow me to use the word, spiritual beings. I ask your permission because I haven't yet really defined spiritual, and we will as we proceed. Time, space, man. The true definition and essence of humanity is, if you will, who and what we are within. Our consciousness, if you will. And therefore, the three dimensions in existence are time and space and consciousness. We are created, we are taught, in the image of God. And therefore, God is the ultimate conscious being of the universe. And we are his children, like him, conscious entities. Like him, conscious, and having the ability through consciousness to create time and space. As we will learn, as we proceed through this text, God created the universe by speaking. Let there be and there was. Now, we are emphatic to emphasize that God is not a human being, has no form and semblance of anything physical. As I said, he is the ultimate consciousness of the universe. There's no form, there's no mouth, and therefore the concept of speaking, the word choice, is obviously a metaphor, as is many other things throughout the creation story. What does it mean when we say God spoke the world into creation? Modern science knows very well that particles, subatomic particles, link together, bond together to form atoms, which form molecules, which form cells, which form greater and higher things, from the smallest of life to the greatest things in the universe. All pretty much built with the same building blocks. Now, man, humanity, how do we build? Well, we build by taking things and putting them together, pretty much using the same format and technique as does the higher realms. One of the ways that particles apparently are attached together or broken up together is through the vehicle of harmonics, what we know as sound, vibration. When things move, they are created and/or destroyed. And there is an entire realm in the science of physics of sound harmonics. It has been used to create beautiful things, and it can be used to destroy equally. Somehow, somewhere, the consciousness which we know God vibrated subatomic particles to form them to create our universe. And that is actually the metaphor, and God spoke. But now, in this beginning, which I mentioned, we've been speaking about the earth. Well, what are these heavens that we're talking about? Now, here is a very interesting thing. Again, according to the Kabbalah, in our discussion of the universes, we're taught that our physical universe, that which the Bible refers to generically as the earth, is called the world of action, the world of making, or in Hebrew, the world of asiyah. We are taught that corresponding to it, there is another universe called Yetzirah. Yetzirah is said to be the realm and domain of the angels, of other entities and forms which pre-existed mankind by the way we date time today, millions if not billions of years. Now, this parallel dimension is what we call heaven. Heaven and earth, therefore, are two parallel dimensions existing one on top of the other, and at the same time existing side by side to one another. So, the physical location, if you will, if I could use such a word as physical, of heaven is right here in a slightly different dimension. I once saw a very interesting program on one of the science Discovery channels where in which they were discussing the creation of our universe. Of course, science holds that everything came forth from what we know as the Big Bang. And modern science believes it can trace back the formation of our universe all the way back to 1/1,000,000th of a second after the Big Bang. But the major question was, what happened before that? This science program, and forgive me that I don't have the details, apparently endeavored to answer the question. They believe that through other scientific theories now, they understand where the Big Bang came from. They postulate that our universe is almost like a ribbon, a floating ribbon, if you will, of multiple universes, and that ours is just one of many. And that somehow, somewhere, another universe next to ours somehow touched our universe, and our universe at this time was empty. And through this penetration, this other universe injected into our universe that which became the form of matter that we know and understand today. And it was this moment of penetration that we call the Big Bang. And when I saw this, I said, you know, that is about as accurate as one can get of describing the Kabbalistic expression and reality of how one higher world, in essence, creates and manifests the world beneath it. And therefore, when it comes to our understanding of the heavens and the earth, we must understand that we are talking about two parallel dimensions. One in which we see, one in which we do not see. But yet above these two dimensions there are other dimensions, one of which is called the dimension of the Spirit of God, the place of consciousness, the place of the mind of man, and above that, of course, the mind of God. So we have four different dimensions. The realm of mind, whether it be the mind of man, the consciousness of man, and all the more so the consciousness of God, these are referred to in the Kabbalah as the worlds of Biria and Atzilut. They are outside of the heavens and the earth, and therefore outside of the universe that is spoken about in creation here in our Genesis story. Our Torah is said to be a code, wherein which each and every letter, the number of letters, sequential numberings, are said to have significant meanings. That the Torah begins with the letter Bet is said to be significant. Indeed, our sages bring down a long midrashic tale explaining why God created the Torah with, why God created the universe through the word Bet, the letter Bet of Bereshit. Why did he not create the universe with the letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the alphabet? And they go into details to explain why, some of which I'll discuss now. The letter Bet, second letter, numerical value of 2, by definition, expresses a duality. A duality expresses two things. What are the two things? Heaven and earth. The dimension which is visible and the dimension which is invisible. We say that the shape of the Hebrew letter Bet in its present form, it has a line on the top, a line on the bottom, and then a line on the right-hand side going down. With the left-hand side, and remember Hebrew is read from the right to the left, the left-hand side of the letter is left open. And it's from there that all the other letters of the Torah come out. The letter Bet is the first letter in the word Bayit, which means house. And therefore we say that this letter Bet is like the house of creation. And just like the letter Bet is blocked off in three dimensions, above, beneath, before, so we do not know what is truly above and beneath creation or before it. All we can know is that which is in it. The emphasis being the two dimensions of heaven and earth, the visible and the invisible. The visible realm is obviously and clearly experienced through our physical selves which exist here. But a point that is made clear from the text later on, man is a composite being, both physical body from the earth and a spirit which comes from God, Elohim. We'll discuss that name in a minute. So we have a composite nature. Part of us is from here on earth, part of us is from the heavens. As I had mentioned, the creation of the heavens are not discussed. They are invisible. They're invisible to the naked eye. They're invisible to our text. They are there nonetheless. Indeed, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, again in his commentaries to Genesis, emphasizes that the entire story of creation is a dual story, that the letter Bet comes to tell us that there are two creations, one in heaven, one in the Shemaim, one in the arts. And just as it is above, so it is below. And we learn that one is a reflection of the other. That which unites everything, of course, is the soul and the spirit of man, that third dimension spoken of by Abraham. So in the beginning, Elohim created. Now we know throughout the Bible that God's name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. It's the name that God revealed himself to Moses, Pharaoh, the Egyptians, right? That was the whole purpose of the Exodus, the whole purpose of giving the Torah, was to reveal this name. But this is not the name that was manifest in creation. You see, the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Hashem's essential name, expresses the essence of his being. The essence of God's being is not the underlying fundamental force that led to the creation of heavens and earth. The underlying fundamental force is a different aspect of God known as Elohim. What's the big difference? We say every day, Hashem Hu Elohim, Hashem Hu Elohim. That's true. But if we don't understand the different aspects and what they mean, then we'll never understand what on earth is being taught here. The name Elohim generally means a judge, authority, the one in control, the one in dominance. In later Torah literature, we find that the name Elohim is used to describe both judges in a court or certain angelic principles and powers. This name of God Elohim, the numerical value of which is 86, is also the numerical value of the word HaTeva, which means nature, natural law. For you see, the universe operates, and this is not controversial, it's clear as nose on our faces, I hope. The universe operates by natural law. The universe has a form to it. Now here is actually something that our sages teach in a very lovely and beautiful midrash. Midrash again, a moralistic teaching, where the question is asked, how did God create the universe? Well, we answer that through sound, but what exactly did he do? How did he know what form to follow? And they say that he looked into the Torah and therefore learned the form how the universe should be and created the world. Please understand the metaphorical nature of this. The Baal Shem Tov makes it very clear that even though we believe the Torah pre-existed creation, it certainly was not the Torah in the form as we understand it now. Primordial Torah was, if you will, the expression of the will of the Creator of how things should be. The Holy Zohar states that Hashem and His Torah are one. Indeed, this knowledge is ancient, and we even find it in the Christian tradition. They refer to it as the Word of God, being one with God. Same thing, really. Of course, how they can make conclusions from that, unfortunately, does not follow with Torah truth, but whatever. This is not a time to address those issues. But to the point, Torah. God looked into the Torah and created the universe. God had a plan, a pattern, and a form. This is extremely important to understand. You see, when we wish to discuss creation, and we wish to present the idea that there is a creator, that there is a source, well, those people wish to challenge that or deny that are going to say, okay, so we created. Then what? Some force was there that enabled the initial Big Bang or whatever we're going to call it to occur. Okay? Now what? Were the formations of the original stars galaxies, ultimately to life itself. A concerted plan, or that everything happened haphazardly, that just happened. Our Midrash answered it and said, God looked into the Torah and created the universe. There is a purpose, a direction, a cause, a reason in creation and everything in it. Now here's the wonder of this. Let's take our imaginary spaceship and go to the edges of the universe. Let's traverse 16 billion light years if that's what's out there. Let's go to every single planet, meet every single race that's out there, and yes, our sages say that there are other races out there. Let's meet them all, get to know them, and everything else. We will find, regardless of where we go, that there is rhyme and reason to the universe. That there is a fundamental way of how things are to operate. This is what was set in motion by Elohim. A form. A rigidity. A path and a way. You see, the name Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke expresses a supernatural element, where in which the natural way can be superseded by the higher hand. Or in other words, heaven, Shemaim, intervening onto earth. But the ways of heaven and earth were both created by Elohim. But Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke, as we say, reigns in the heavens, and the verse says, and God gave the earth to the sons of man. Natural form, natural way. And that is how we follow life in the universe. This is the meaning of this first pasuk. Why it begins with the letter Bet, and why it says Reshit. Interesting that in these seven words, 7 days of creation, seven words, there are 28 letters. 28 is the numerical value for the Hebrew word Koach, which means power. I wonder if that has any coincidence. Interesting. If you were to count all of the number of letters in the first two verses, if you count to the 86th letter, which is actually the name Elohim in verse 3, the name Elohim itself is numerical value 86, and the 86th letter of the Torah begins the word Elohim. I don't know if that's a coincidence, but something would tell me there's something very deep there. Moving right along. Ha'aretz hayta tohu v'bohu. Land was tohu and bohu. It's translated like void and desolate. But I don't know if that truly expresses the meaning of the terms. You see, there's a very interesting pasuk in the Sefer of Yeshayahu, of Isaiah. I believe it's in the 45th parak, in the 18th pasuk, by how it is read today, where it says here, the land was tohu v'bohu, and the pasuk says very clearly, lo tohu v'ra'ah. God did not create the world in tohu. So if he didn't create it in tohu, but by verse 2, it's already in tohu. Something really big is missing between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Indeed, the Midrash says that 8 things were created on the first day. And those things are... Actually, it says here that the first thing that God said was Bereshit, that there was an initial creation prior to the words, let there be light. And that the things that were created, it says here, were the heavens and the earth, of course, light. But then again, there was also, must have been the creation of the darkness, the creation of this tohu and bohu, the creation of the ruach, and the creation of water. None of that is really explained here. But again, the Kabbalists teach something radical and profound. so radical that many modern Kabbalists, rabbis alike, have a really hard time dealing with this. There is a midrash that is taught that prior to the creation of our world, God created other worlds, didn't like them, and destroyed them. And everything was kind of like in this messed up state. Indeed, the Kabbalah explains this in great and profound detail, referring to the primordial world of the fallen kings who metaphorically reigned in the land of Edom prior to there being a king in Israel. What these metaphors mean is a very profound Kabbalistic set of teachings, which I have explained in relative detail in my PDF ebook entitled Torah HaKabbalah, which is available on koshertorah.com. I also touched on some of these concepts in my Basic Kabbalistic Concepts ebook, available also through our website. A great controversy has erupted between the Kabbalists. Were these previous worlds or universes only spiritual, or were they physical? There is a very strong precedence by many of the Kabbalists to state that indeed the previous universes were physical, that there was a physical expression of this. Even though many wish to interpret the Arizal, and even Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, is contradicting this physicality of these primordial universes, the vast majority of Kabbalists before them and after them have said, no, indeed, there were physical universes. So much so that rabbis in recent centuries have used this teaching to explain the existence of dinosaurs, pre-Adamic humanity, and many other things. Much of this literature, or I should say parts of it, are available in English in the writings of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan and a book of his entitled, I believe, The Age of the Universe, with a translation of a very profound essay written by a Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz and his Mishnaic commentary, Tiferet Israel, where in which he addresses some very controversial issues. What existed before us? Physical, spiritual, is a subject of many profound teachings. I have also discussed some of these materials in writings that I have available on our koshertorah.com website, under the topic of Shemitot, the sabbatical cycles, which, according to those who hold by those views, happened before man in the period between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1-2. But now, to get to our second pasuk, the land was tohu vabohu. And I said I don't want to translate those words, and I'll explain why. Tohu v'bohu are said to be, and this is explained by Ramban from Kabbalistic sources, that tohu is said to be, if you will, the force, the kernel, the seed by which creation will come to be, and bohu is the primordial form before it has been formed. That tohu, if you will inject into, and between the two of them, will come creation. Because here comes now a very profound teaching. We believe that our universe came into being what's called yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. And not that nothing is nothing, but nothing is a something. Something is a no thing. And yes, that might sound confusing, but in limited human intellect, it is. But from the creation of something, all other somethings came to be. So, many refer to this tohu as what's referred to in old Greek philosophy as the prima mater, the original form of all matter. prior to its differentiation into the elements. And this is a very profound teaching here. Because again, here we are talking about the earth. What about the heavens? Rambam in his Mor Nebuchim says something so profound that is actually radical. Quoting our sages in Bereshit Rabbah from his Mor Nebuchim, section 2 and 5th parak, he quotes the pasuk, which states Yeshva la'aretz toha v'bohu. He says that the land would cry out and speak before Hashem. Right? And he says that the heavens and the earth would speak. And therefore he states, Barur al-ken she'ashamayim v'kol tzva'am ha'galgalim ha'kochavim ha'mazalot hem gufim chayim v'lo gufim metim kamo ha'yasodot. It is clear that the heavens and all their hosts, the spheres, the planets, the stars, all of them are living bodies, not dead bodies like the foundations. Rambam actually embellishes this teaching in his laws, the Yesod de Torah, in the beginning of his Mishnah Torah, where he states that the earth itself is alive. That like the other planets, they are conscious beings, sentient, just like us. They have a soul, consciousness, and they are aware of their creator. This is radical and profound for the Rambam to state, all the more so for us to believe. So here we talk about Mother Earth, and by all means, we have what to talk about. Indeed, the planets are alive, as are the stars. And there is a profound relationship between the planets and the stars and the angels. But that, again, is a topic of another lesson, which I've taught elsewhere, and again, available through our website. But here, he makes a distinction between living bodies and foundations. The foundations here are the four forms of matter, which come forth from the prima matter. He refers to them as being dead. Now here, the Kabbalah adds a profound teaching. We are taught that this physical realm of ours called Asiya, also referred to as the Sefirat Malchut, is referred to as the Espekloria She'ina Mi'ira, the mirror which has no reflection. Our sages say that this world of ours is like an empty vessel which only receives light, but does not radiate its own. This is exactly what is being spoken of here. That our physical universe, of course, has living entities in it, but those living entities have their source in the realms of consciousness which are above. And all we have here are forms which are our bodies. The bodies are made up of composite elements that came from differentiated prima matter. The four elements are fire, air, water, and earth. And Rabbeinu Bachya, in his commentary to the Torah, explains that they are to be found in this verse. That the original Hoshech, the darkness, is actually to be understood as fire. Fire being energy. And then, of course, we have the mention of the earth, the water, and the ruach. And there we have all of our four elements. So here we are with the physical environment of space in its most fundamental primordial form, prior to the development of form as we know it, wherein which, like science says, somehow there was vibrations at a level which created subatomic particles to manifest and then to form blocks which formed atoms which then formed molecules which then grew. Prior to this occurring, things are in a state of tohu vabohu. the potential. Choshech al panei tahum. Tahum, the depths. That which is there, but is not yet formed. Energy, alive and potent, but yet concealed. Everything there is dark. The Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, consciousness. The consciousness which dictates and forms the laws of nature. Structure. That which is going to build. Mirachefet. Very interesting term, mirachefet. Floating. Hovering. Over the waters. And again, where did the water come from? Laman Hashem. Talking about the deeps here. All of these metaphors, the primordial forms, are now all there, ready to be enacted, acted upon, formed, crystallized, shaped, molded. This is what our Torah begins with. That there was a form in the of a beginning. That our universe in itself is finite. That our universe in itself is dual. Physical and another dimension called heaven. Today they refer to it as astral. I don't like using the term spiritual because they don't think it's so nebulous. I don't think it really has any meaning. We don't know much about what exists in the heaven other than that Ramak. Again, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero tells us that what existed or created down here is parallel from what exists above. Of course, in the Kabbalah, what exists in these other dimensions and planes is very, very much taught. But that's not in our text. So our text here, again, teaches us that in the beginning, and there was a beginning, there was a creation, something from apparently nothing. And that the form and force of the ultimate source of power and direction manifested a structure which gave birth to a dual-dimensional universe, revealed and concealed, heaven and the earth. And now, skipping whatever is to be skipped, to talk now about the earth, not to talk about these heavens, it's in a form of prima matter. Primordial, fundamental, ooh, goo, whatever. And that there is energy now imbuing it, hovering over it. An energy which is imbued by the Ruach Elohim, this force and form of the authority of the creation of structure, hovering over what is to be called the face of the waters. That which is going to now be structured and formed. What we learn from this is something very profound. There is an order to the universe. There is an authority to the universe. There is a singularity to the universe. And I discussed this in our previous lesson. It's important to repeat here. If there were multiple sources, multiple authorities, multiple powers, then who's to say which way is the right way? Which path is the correct path? What must be done or what must not be done? If there are multiple sources, multiple gods, if you will, each one creating, then who's to say that they're going to agree? This one might say if we put this group of chemicals together, we will get this, and you put that group of chemicals together and you get that. So if I put hydrogen together with oxygen, I can get water. But if there were ever a god number two, it'd say, no, if you put hydrogen and oxygen together, I don't want it to be water, I want it to be a rock. So what would happen every time you opened your faucet? Would you get a cup of water or would you get a cup of rocks? You could say, oh, that's silly. But understand the concept that the laws of nature were subject to different applications, you would have absolute anarchy and you could not have form. And therefore, Torah comes to teach us the emphasis and importance of there being a singularity, a single authoritative force which we are created in its image. We have the ability to embrace, to understand. And then the Kabbalists teach, through that same force, can we learn the processes of the oscillation of sound controlled as it will through consciousness to manipulate the forms of both earth and heaven. And that, or I should say, those are the secrets of Maaseh Bereshit. Many of you might have heard of a Jewish legend called the Golem, the creation of an artificial man. It is thought that those who know these secrets of creation, because they can ascend the limitations and the illusions of heaven and earth, go back to that level of the consciousness, the mind, the spirit of God, in which we are, the image in which we are created. And by embracing that, imitate God and actually complement God and expressing the act of creation. This is taught to be the true, intimate experience of knowing God, and that we can create like God does. Now, today, you and I are not going to go around and create golems, that's true. But we can still imitate God by processing the creative energy within us and creating, building, improving our world so that this teaching of creation is a moral lesson for us. That just as creation is built step by step, and it was good, so can we do the same, because we have the same power, potential, and ability. Bezat Hashem, God be willing, I pray that on that note, I will have explained these first two pasukim as best as I'm able to within the limited context of our present time. And God be willing, Bezat Hashem, B'Shah Tova, in our next lesson, we'll continue to discuss the days of creation. So let me conclude and say Baruch Adonai Lo'olam. Amen. Amen.